in your face.
There's a man in the kitchen selling old news from the war on mad gatherings, weekly woven. You see the threads all start to fray, coming loose, falling away. So you jump out the window into the uncaring day. But a stranger who's been tracking your fall catches you like a wolf, and he takes you clear. Whispers escapes in your ear, and you harden your head, and you to sing, so perfect and so dim. Your old choices are returning, returning, returning.
From his new album, Returning, Brendan Welch there with the title track, Returning. And Brendan joins us in the studio. Welcome to 3CR.
Thanks so much, James. It's great to be here.
It is a beautiful album. I love Returning. It is such an honest album. Tell us about that track, Returning, the title track.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks for picking that, actually. I picked it as the title track because it's kind of about the period that I go through where things are starting to be hopeful again, and I'm feeling like I can write more music and feel that kind of joy. The album kind of goes through the same sort of cycle that I go through, why it takes me so long to put music out, where I do go through kind of long depressions and a constant kind of anxiety, although I am better now, to be honest, as I get older. But and then, because it's a cycle, I always know it's going to come back, and that's sort of what Returning's about. Although the lyrics are kind of more like a story. And to be honest, I've read it so long ago, I'm not sure how it came to me, really. But I guess the key line is that sort of final line where it says, like some ancient kin reminding you what to sing, so perfect and so dim, the old choices are returning. That's kind of the full song there, yeah.
And you really connect with that cycle, like you really dig deep and harness it. That's a real gift.
Yeah, well, thank you. I think even though the songs kind of deal with what I talked about with, you know, periods of real big dips, the most of them were written in that joyful period. So I'm just trying to be, I guess I'm just trying to describe that feeling and sort of show that it always cycles in and out, and that in the end, I think the most of my time is joyful. So yeah.
What's your favourite track off the album? Is it Returning?
I do like Returning, but I like them all. High Alert is the first track, and that I think I felt was successful in what I was trying to do. So I was trying to describe anxiety, kind of. Although, yeah, like I said before, I think I am doing much better now in terms of not having that constant anxious state that I'm in. But yeah, Highlight sort of tries to describe that feeling of not being able to be present and always looking around what's happening and missing out because you're constantly looking at the exits or the angles and that sort of thing. But yeah, so I like High Alert. And Blue Sails as well, which is another kind of sad song. But writing that felt kind of cathartic. It's just kind of, Blue Sails is like when you start to sense that maybe there's a bit of a downturn in the mood or where you are in life. And about being able to recognize that and just allowing that in and sort of sitting with it, knowing that that's part of the whole process. And, you know, that can be beautiful on its own and that you'll eventually get out of that as well.
You've got a great body of work. Your debut EP was Unbeat in 2005. You followed that up with The Ghost in 2007, your first full-length album was The Gleaner, 2009, and then there was your self-titled album, Brendan Welch. And then this one, which is your favourite?
I think the newest is always the favourite. So, yeah, at the moment, the newest one and what's in my mind for the next one will be my favourite probably. But, you know, I like them all. They're all... I really do try to always just make the best thing I can make. So, and I take my time with it. So I'm happy with kind of everything I've put out. Although obviously there's songs, you know, that's a long time ago now. I've been doing it for, you know, multiple decades. So some of them, you know, who knows what they're about to me anymore. But yeah, I'm happy with just the fact that I've been able to keep going, basically.
You mentioned what's in your mind for the next one, but didn't tell us what is in your mind for the next one.
Well, I'm constantly writing, so, and this album Returning, it's been a long, long gestating period. I actually started recording it with at Headgap with Rowan Svesina in like just before COVID. So the songs were kind of formed at that point, although many of them didn't have lyrics, though I often write just the music, so the melodies. So we put that all down before COVID, and then obviously it was all stopped, and we came in and out during that as much as we could, and then I just sort of had it finished and mastered a while ago, but just didn't, I was just waiting for the right sort of moment to finally put it out. So in that meantime, I always write. So I'm writing every day, pretty much. A lot of songs never make it and get forgotten or hidden or lost. So in my mind, I've got another few albums already in sort of what I think they're going to be. And hopefully something different, you know. I'm always trying to learn more about how to do it. So it's always the next thing that I think, oh, that's when I'll try and finally get to what I'm hearing in my head.
So you were waiting for that moment to release Returning. What was that moment?
I think, honestly, it was just, it was time. I just had to have it out there and be able to move on with my life. I think I just reached a point where I was happy to share it, basically. Yeah.
Gee, you really feel your way through your songs.
I do. I try to always work on that, improving the craft, but always realizing that the music kind of comes from somewhere else. So I'm trying to just be there so that that inspiration or that those melodies can come through. That's kind of how I try to approach it. And every time I'm trying to almost bring myself out of it more and more each time and just let it happen. I think that's the real skill that can take, you know, a lifetime to sort of get to. So I'm always just trying to make something better. It's like an obsession.
Is it a good obsession? It sounds like it's a great one.
I mean, I'm so privileged to be able to have something that I'd love to do. And however I'm going in life or whatever's happening, it's pretty much been a constant since I started. So it's odd. I think it is. Yeah, it's joyful. You know, I just want to share whatever it is I can do. So I'm just trying to stay connected to whatever is allowing me to do that. Yeah.
So you write all the time. Do you have a routine?
I do, yeah. I tend to write something every day. And most days something will come through. And to be honest, in the last, probably last 10 years, I tend to write music first. So I try and just hear something in my head, some sort of start of something. And then I'll sing that to myself and then try and find some sort of harmony with the chords around that. And it will often be the full sort of song format. And then something will usually come through, like a overarching sort of hook line or something in my sort of just, I'm making vowel sounds and then I'll build the lyrics around that, basically. Mm.
You recorded Returning, the album, at Headgap Studios before it burnt down. Charlie Lane did the same thing. An amazing studio, iconic. Must make the album even more special.
It really is. And to be honest, I visited Headgap about a year before I started recording the album. It was a mutual friend of Rowan Sfacino, who's one of the owners and producers. It was their wedding, so I went there to like rehearse for the wedding band. And as I walked in, I was just like, "Oh, this is where I need to make something." So that was actually just seeing Headgap really spurred me on to make the record in the first place. And the whole experience was just perfect. And even though we didn't spend that much time making the record, it was only like probably 10 days or something over that whole stretch. But yeah, it's probably my favorite studio experience for sure. And me and Rowan just completely clicked and he really gave a lot to making it. And so it means a lot to have made it there. And it's a great memory to have. And it's kind of bittersweet now, obviously, because it's sadly destroyed, but hopefully it comes back better than ever.
Speaking of great memories, you toured with Paul Kelly. Mm. What was that like?
Yeah, that was great. That was like that was a big dream. And that was pretty early on. So I had that full confidence. And that was like, oh, you know, Paul Kelly wants to tour with me, then that's great. You know, I'm doing the right thing. And obviously he was an absolute gem and really inspirational. And we got to sing on stage a couple of times together. And yeah, he's exactly what you'd expect, just fully Paul Kelly and grounded and just an amazing presence and inspiration. So that was great, yeah.
any live gigs coming up?
Now, this is a big flaw of mine. I'm terrible at organising that sort of thing, but I am making some vinyl of the record. So, and that should be ready early next year. And at that point, I will launch the record. It's to be confirmed, though. But yeah, start of next year, I'll do a big show.
Do you think your tracks sound different on vinyl?
I think they do, yeah. They say it doesn't, but...
But vinyl lovers say it definitely sounds different.
I think it does, because it's like a physical, you know, movement of sound or something. I don't know. It feels different. And obviously I love having my own vinyl, so of course I'm going to put it out. And I think it's essential, especially for like independent music. It's something to set you apart and something for people to have and hopefully collect. If I'm not going to get a billion streams on anything, so it's great to have this physical thing that you've made. I think that's the other thing. Artists love it because it's, you feel like you've made this thing, but it's this ethereal thing that is all free now. But putting it on vinyl means you've made something. It's finished.
Absolutely. Mm. You are not afraid to talk about your journey as a gay man in your songs. Mm. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. I mean, what a topic. I think it really informs a lot of who I am, honestly, because obviously growing up, I was very closeted. I wasn't really comfortable with being that part of myself for a long time. Not until my sort of early 20s did I start telling anyone. And it was just that full terror of being found out, or obviously, you know, not being accepted, or and I think I knew so early as a kid that, yeah, I think that takes a toll, that having to really, whether or not whether or not you needed to, feeling that it was impossible to share that part of you with people, I think that that takes a lifetime of unpacking later on. And I'm in the midst of that, I think. And I'm definitely much more at peace now, I think, as I get older. And, you know, I sort of didn't fully tell the world or tell my family until I had my partner, Ricardo. So we met when I was... about 26. I didn't think I'd tell my parents until then, but I had told other people before then, obviously, friends and stuff like that. But yeah, it took me a long time to deal with that. I think it's changed a lot, but I think growing up in the 90s or 80s and 90s was a different culture. So if you had the personality or the strength to really, open up, you could, but for someone like me, I was already shy and introverted, so seeing the culture around me, I was like, no, I'm just gonna pretend like this is not an issue and just not tell anyone and just go on with my life. So I think it informed who I am a lot and probably made music that much more important and creative output in general. It's just that was the thing that kind of saved me, I guess, yeah.
We're chatting with songwriter Brendan Welch, who has released a wonderful new album called Returning. Brendan, you've kind of given the community a gift, really, because you've released several EPs, several albums, and they all document in different ways your experience as a queer person from the 80s. Not many people in Australia have done that musically.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, the first few EPs and the first album, I was just avoiding the idea of that being important or talking about it at all. Probably not until the second album, where I had the song Homosexual Love Song on there. that was my big sort of, not coming out, but just like, look, this is my life, and I could not sing about the experience of that joy of being with my boyfriend, you know. So the second album probably has more love songs on it than any other, because that was the time, that was around the time that we met and started our whole thing. But yeah, I guess I always felt like I was being completely honest and true about myself, but I guess I just sort of held off that part of me in the early days and just didn't sort of mention it either way. I guess no one really asked me, but it wasn't a big part of my life either, that sort of intimate love. I was more concerned with all the other universal ideas, you know. That was what I was always concerned with writing, just writing music. If I could write music that didn't have lyrics, I probably would do that a fair bit. But I love singing too much, so I could just sing random things, but I try and find that real connection between the music and the lyrics. So yeah, I'm happy to be, you know, an openly gay sort of folk musician, which there aren't that many of, I guess. There are worldwide, I suppose, but yeah, it's a big part of me, and I'm sure I'll write more about it in the future.
Your face lit up when you said you love singing. What kind of emotions happen for you when you sing? Obviously, you're interpreting the song, you're feeling the song, but do you go to kind of another place? Do you feel like you're on another plane, like riding a wave or something? I don't know. Tell me.
Yeah, that is a good way to describe it. If you're doing it, if I feel like I'm doing it well, then I'm not thinking about it too much. But yeah, honestly, there's a, to me anyway, to people who might be more musically educated, it might be less of a mystery, but to me it's always a bit of a mystery. I'm just sort of feeling my way through it and trying to really communicate something that's true, and that's kind of, not to sound too woo-woo, but something like eternal, or, you know, from another place, basically. If I have any kind of religion, it's based in music, probably.
So singing is your religion?
I would say so, yeah. Or trying to capture this, whatever it is that's going on with, that makes music so good. To me, there's a mystery there that I'm just always chasing, and who knows where it comes from, but I don't think it's just... I definitely don't think it's coming from my head.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that mystery.
Well, I guess it's like... it sounds kind of... I don't want to sound like a wanker, but it is like you're just showing up to hopefully you're showing up to channel something. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Which, yeah. It's another part of ourselves and our humanity.
Yeah, it's like a shared thing, a shared consciousness. And I always found that I do find a tension between writing music and melodies, because melody is probably the thing I'm chasing the most, is trying to do great melodies and sing them well. And then you have to put words on them, which is always kind of a juggle for me, because you're trying to say something unsayable, but then you have to like put words on it. So, but if you can find, yeah, I mean, that's always a challenge to try and really say something with the music and be honest in the lyrics, and yeah.
Well, you've certainly captured honesty with your wonderful album, Returning. Brendan Welch, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR. We are going to play another track from Returning. You mentioned it before. It's High Alert. Thank you so much for popping into 3CR.
Thanks, James.
Thank you.
on high alert, trying so hard not to be seen or heard. Undercover, deep in disguise, never in one place at any one time, always on guard, ready to run. Easy hours, 12 in a ton, always on high alert, too long on high alert, always on high alert. Secret agent in my own private little war, sensing danger beyond every
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.